Right, let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, and we ask, Lord, that you would be with us now as we come to the Word of God, as we study the Scriptures together tonight. We pray that you would enable us to understand what is taught in your Holy Word. We do ask that you would forgive our sins. We pray all of this through Christ our King. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 8. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to read, beginning at verse 22, down through the end of the chapter. And if anybody asks me why, when we finished chapter 9 last week, it's because I did not realize, I have my notes done, but I didn't realize that we did not cover this section. So I'm backing up, and we're going to pick up chapter 8. We're going to begin at verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, before He had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the foundation, the fountains of the deep, then when He assigned the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Stop here for just a minute, and we'll pick up the rest of it as soon as we look at this. In Proverbs chapter 8, we're looking at wisdom. Once again, wisdom is personified. She's expressing who she is and what she has done in relationship to various things. And here in the section that we're looking at, we're seeing wisdom in relationship to God in eternity, wisdom in relationship to God's creation, and wisdom in relationship to God Himself. And so we're looking at those three aspects of wisdom in this little section that's before us here. Remember, as you look at this, and if you go back, if any of you have any of the commentaries that were written during the time of the Puritans in England, you will discover that many of the Puritans look at this section of Proverbs chapter 8, and because of what is being said here, this leads them to say, well, this is none other than Jesus Christ speaking here. And so lots of the old Puritan commentaries will, when they look at wisdom speaking here and what is said about wisdom, will relate this to Jesus Christ. And there are lots of things that can be done to relate to the Lord Jesus Christ here. I think, however, once again, as I've said several times as we've looked at Proverbs, in this section that we're looking at, and remember, it starts in chapter 1, goes all the way to the end of chapter 9. As we look at this section of Proverbs, what we're looking at is a contrast between the wisdom of God and all kinds of other things that come in to compete with God's wisdom. The temptation of the adulteress, the foolishness of mankind in rebellion against God. So we've got all of these other things in contrast to that. In chapter 8, wisdom in this section is commending herself to us. We didn't look at verses 12 through 17, or 12 through 21 rather, in which wisdom just basically talks about how she is related to prudence and knowledge and discretion, and that she's always found in relationship to these things. So these are all good things. Wisdom is always in relationship to this. All right, so here, wisdom is talking about, first of all, her eternity. She is the first of God's acts of creation. Which is why I don't believe that this is related to the Lord Jesus Christ as such. Now, think about it for a second here. Look at verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. Okay. Here's what I think is going on. Wisdom is speaking. She is stating that she has been with God throughout eternity prior to creation, because she's speaking about being there from the beginning. But she also speaks about being the first act, one of the first acts that he did prior to the creation of the material universe. And so what we're really looking at here is this. God possesses wisdom in and of himself. And one of the first things that God did was he took that godly wisdom that is divine, that belongs to him alone, and he used that to create what we see around us. And so wisdom is part of the very first of God's acts that he, where he made something in which he then created the whole material universe. Or, let's put it this way. Put it in a way that maybe we can understand it better. You remember the Shorter Catechism? Question and answer 4, what is God? And the answer to that is God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And when we studied the Shorter Catechism, I talked about the fact that God possesses both incommunicable attributes and communicable attributes. Incommunicable attributes are things that God alone has. He's spirit, we have bodies. He is infinite, we are limited in space and time. He is eternal, he had no beginning, he will have no end. You and I had a birth, we will have a death, and so we are not eternal in that sense. And he is unchangeable. All of us change. We're born as babies, we'll die as old people if we live that long. And we change every single day. There are things that change about us. And so these things are true of God alone. Spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. But there are things that he does share with his creation. And those are the communicable attributes. Being, God is a being, and he has created us as beings. We have the ability, the fact that we have the ability to talk, that we have the ability to exist, that we have the ability to think and to communicate with each other, and especially to communicate with our God, indicates something that God shares with us. He is a being, and he has created us as beings. The next thing that's mentioned in the Shorter Catechism is wisdom. Okay, now, here's the point I'm trying to make. God gives wisdom to his people. He gives wisdom to the folks that he has made. Even unbelievers share a certain amount of wisdom, but that wisdom does come from God, even if they do not recognize it. Believers have the wisdom of God put down in Scripture so that we can rely upon it and know that it is infallible wisdom. But God shares wisdom with us. Otherwise, we would not be able to know how to do anything that we do. And so this wisdom is something that has been around for a long time. That's the point of Proverbs 8. Wisdom says she's been around for a long time. And when you look at all of God's creation, it has the stamp of the wisdom of God upon it. That's the point that I think she's making here from eternity. And then, of course, God shares power with his creatures. He shares holiness and justice, goodness and truth. We've looked at all of those things before, but the wisdom is one of those things that God shares with his creation. And that's what Proverbs 8 is saying here, that she was with God at the very first. And then notice she says she was there at creation itself. This eternal wisdom of God is used by him in setting up the creation of the universe. She says in verse 24, when I was there at first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains, and so on. So we've got the creation from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 being referred to here, and the point that's being made is God's wisdom was there at the making of all of these things, which means that in order to understand the universe correctly, we need to understand, as the Bible tells us, that all of the creation of God bears His imprint. It's like being able to see the fingerprints of God on everything. Everything indicates that there was a creator. It didn't just spring into being by itself. If any of you study science, you know that over the last, 50 years at least, maybe longer than that, people have been trying to prove that this universe could exist without a God to make it. And one of the things that they've come up with is, it's been a stumbling block for a long time, is the fact that how do you get animate objects from inanimate objects? How do you get living beings from dead material, a material that has no life? And what has happened over the last 50 years is scientists have begun to theorize that all of these things spontaneously develop life, okay? That life spontaneously developed from inanimate matter. That's the only option they've got, because if they don't believe that that happened, then they have to believe that there is a creator that made it, and that's the one thing that they're trying to rule out, is the existence of a creator. What the Bible tells us is, in the first place, such an argument that that living things came from inanimate objects or inanimate matter is foolishness, because everything declares God's creation. And so here, wisdom is saying, you just look at anything, and this is the point of this section. When you look at anything, you look at the deeps that God created, you look at the springs of water, look at the mountains, the hills, the fields, the dust of the earth itself, and you just look at things on the earth, all of these things declare the glory of God. And then turn your eyes to the heavens and look at verse 27. When He established the heavens, I was there. And it talks about the heavens and the skies and the fountain of the deep and putting a limit to the sea and all of these things. All of this is a poetic way of looking back at Genesis chapter 1, looking at all those divisions that God made in each day when He did creation, and just basically saying God used His wisdom, and His wisdom is imprinted on every single thing that we see. Verse 29 says, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside Him like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing in His inhabited world, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. Okay, so wisdom says that she was there at creation. She was there at eternity prior to creation. She was there at creation. She was daily the delight of God as God went about His work of creation of this universe. That wisdom delighted in everything that God did, His creation of the inhabited world, and in particular His creation of mankind. Now she turns in verse 32 and she issues a call to us. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep My ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to Me, watching daily at My gates, waiting beside My doors. For whoever finds Me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find Me injures himself. All who hate Me love death. Okay. Wisdom's going to call, and in this entire section from chapter 1 through chapter 9, wisdom calls over and over again to the sons of men. And what she does is she says, listen to me, and if you listen to me, you will become wise. And she promises a blessing to everyone who listens to her. What are the two blessings that are mentioned here? Verse 35. Somebody tell me, what are the two blessings that wisdom promises in verse 35? Okay, life and the favor of the Lord. Life is a prosperous, bountiful, blessed life of favorable circumstances before God, in contrast to the curse of God upon sinners who are in rebellion against Him. So those who live by the wisdom of the Word of God find life. And it's talking not just about favorable circumstances in this material world, but it's talking about eternal life as well. wisdom alone that comes from God can lead us to the one who provides eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. And favor from God is acceptance. It's the approval of God. So how do you find approval with God? You find it through the wisdom that God has put forth in Holy Scripture. You find it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So wisdom offers these two things: life and life abundantly, and favor with God, approval from God. If you don't walk by the wisdom of the Word of God, then what happens is you walk in disapproval. You walk in rebellion against God. And so wisdom turns and says to us then in verse 36, "He who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." The injury has to do with mistreatment. If you miss the wisdom of the Word of God, you end up going wrong, going astray. You end up without the approval of God. So, point once again, remember, this whole section is wisdom is contrasted with its opposite. Wisdom from God is contrasted with opinions of men, with temptations of sin, with living life apart from God, and all of those things. And what she's saying here is, if you miss me, if you miss wisdom, then you end up not only in disapproval, but actual injury. You end up doing wrong and being in the wrong. And there are those who not only miss wisdom, but there are those who hate wisdom. We talked about these folks this past Sunday, those who hate the Word of God, those who hate what God has to say, those who look at the Scriptures and scoff, and who reject it, and who would have nothing to do with the Lord. What wisdom says is, if anyone hates this wisdom that God has made, if anyone hates the wisdom that reveals God and reveals Christ, then that person actually loves death. The choice is clear. It's the choice that Scripture presents over and over again. The choice is life or death. The choice is the favor of God or the wrath of God. And it's a simple choice in that particular regard. J. Adams, in his little commentary on the book of Proverbs, made this statement that I always get myself into trouble for, because I believe the same thing that Jay does on this. He says, "The Scriptures are not gray. They are black and white." And that's what's being said here. You either love God or you hate God. You either seek God's wisdom or you hate God's wisdom. You either find life through the wisdom of God in Christ, or you find death in rejection of that. And there is no middle ground. It's not like somebody can accept some of what God has to say, but not all of what God has to say. It is black and white. It is either all or nothing. It is either Christ or it is hell. And so that's the choice that's placed before man, and that's what wisdom has to say about this particular thing. All right, we've reached the end of this section. Anybody have any questions or comments on this? All right. Very good. Then let's close this section out with prayer. Father, we thank you that the Word of God is clear, that wisdom is set before us as the only choice that has any lasting appeal with you, that, Father, your wisdom that you have brought forth is what we should seek. And, Father, if we do not seek that, we know what the warning is, that ultimate end is death. And so, Father, I pray that you would work upon each of our hearts, that you would cause us to seek your wisdom through the Word of God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and, Father, to find the life that is presented only through him. Father, please bless us to do this and to not love death. We pray all of this in Christ's holy name. Amen.